We've been working through Romans, and I said over the summer we're going to stop and we're going to deal with this issue of to be brave, courage, right? And so each week we're looking at these different aspects of living in a day and a time where bravery, courage, being bold for our faith is necessary, maybe like never before here in our great land. And so this morning, you remember last week we talked about in Joshua chapter 1, he's told to be bold, to be courageous, to be strong, to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, that if he would do so, that his way would be prosperous, and not to fear because the Lord is with him, right? That was the way that he was going to be able to be bold, to be able to stand firm, to be able to do what God had called him to do according to the word, right? That's the foundational passage that we're building all these other things upon. And so what I'm going to do today is instead of just saying dads, I really want to speak to men. If you're male in here today, I'm talking to you, right? I want you to hear these words, regardless of your age, right? I think you can implement what you're hearing. Now, you ladies will say, okay, well, great. What does that mean for me? Well, it means this. You can be praying for your husbands, that they would listen and they would implement what they hear. You can be praying for your sons, that this would be the kind of individuals that God would make them. You can be praying for your sons-in-laws, that this is who God would be shaping and forming them as. You can be praying as women. You can be praying for your future spouses, that this would be the man that God would make and would bring to you, right? I mean, there's all kinds of applications. It's not just for men, but men on this day, when we acknowledge fathers, I do want to take some time and speak honestly to you. So look in your Bible at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Last week we looked at the beginning of his ministry. Now today we're looking at the end of his ministry. Verse 14. Hear these words. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and persevered us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land, and therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And then he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and he set it up there under the terebinth and was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. So Joshua's life's coming to an end. Now, this reminder of what Joshua has experienced. Remember, He was with Caleb, went into the promised land, saw God's faithfulness, his promise, came back and said, look, we should go. And Israel said, no, we won't go because we're afraid. We're scared of what's over there. So for 40 years, Joshua experienced God's punishment, displeasure, judgment upon the people, right? And then God raises Joshua up to be one of the leaders who's going to lead them into the promised land. And he emboldens him and he says, look, I'm going to be with you. So Joshua is the one who's kind of been the leader through all the battles and all the things that the dividing of the land and the conquering that they've experienced, right? But he knows what it's like to disobey the Lord. He knows what it's like to experience God's displeasure for sin. So he's warning the people, look, I'm at the end of my life, and I want you to know what is the most important thing. Serve God. Don't go back and worship the false gods of the Egyptians, and don't worship these gods of the Amorites. I know what happens when you forsake God. I have personally experienced it. It is not a good thing. He's warning them, reminding them that they are in covenant with God, that they had said in Exodus 20, you are our God, we are your people, we will keep your laws. He's reminding them. The tragedy is you turn one page and in Joshua chapter 2, a whole generation grows up who doesn't know this and they go astray. The very thing Joshua is worried about is the very thing that comes to pass. But he's admonishing them here. And men, this morning, I want to admonish you. I want to challenge you to be brave. And I want to start with this. You are called to be the spiritual leader of your home. I'm just going to tell you right now, guys, I'm speaking to me as I'm speaking to you. But if you're wanting a, hey, rah, rah, make me feel good message for Father's Day, what I want to do is give you something that you really need, which we really need. And that's to remind us of the high calling that God has given us as men. Look, John said it. You guys clap about it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you like when I preach things that are hard when it's what you agree with. But this idea of male headship, leadership in the home, is not always received with the same acceptance. But all throughout Scripture, we see that God has said, look, male and female, you are of value, both made in the image of God, but the way that God has orchestrated His dynamic is, husbands, you are to be the spiritual leader of your homes, not to conjure up these false ideas that the world has about domineering and being a boss, but it means to be like Christ, to love your family as Christ has loved His church, to be the servant leader of your family, right? And men, that is our high calling. That's what Joshua is saying here in this passage. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. What that means for you men is this. You, if you remain in this room, you are responsible for the spiritual well-being of your family. Their spiritual development, their protection. You are the pastor of your home, the shepherd of your family. In the Old Testament, you see these models of prophet, priest, and king. And you see Jesus fulfilling each of those roles in His earthly life. And I would say, in many ways, men, that's your responsibility to your family as well. You are called to be that king. Again, not a king that we have ideas of these dictatorial kings, but a king who lovingly governs, protects, defends, fights for his family. You're called to be the prophet to your family, the one who is speaking the word of life and truth to them. If all your family gets is 1 hour with me on Sunday, or an extra hour with Don in Sunday school, right? Or they go to youth ministry and they get an hour or two during the week with Jess or with The Rock or CIA. That's not enough for this day and age. That's how we've become anemic spiritually. There's a famine in the land. It's a famine for the Word. And it falls on us as men of our homes. We're to be the prophets to proclaim God's Word to them and then to be the priest Yes, Jesus is our great model, and he does those things. But you, oh man, you are to be the one who was making the priestly, not sacrifices, but praying for them, interceding for them, leading them in times of prayer. You know, we think about the individual Job, right? And you think immediately about, oh yeah, he suffered all these bad things that happened in his life. He lost his family, and he got all the diseases on him, and you know, all that stuff. But do you know what's going on in the very beginning of the book of Job? His kids are getting together and they're having parties, and it says that Job would every day would pray, make sacrifices for them, would lift them up before God because he saw that he was the leader of his home. He was responsible for his children, even if they were adult children, and he was interceding to God on their behalf, saying, God, forgive my children for what they're doing. God, I'm interceding on their behalf, right? And men, that is your responsibility for your family. We're pretty good at being the king of our family, but we're not very good at being the prophet or the priests for our families. But that's your calling. God's going to hold you accountable. When Eve sinned, God came to Adam. He's responsible for that action. That's why in Romans chapter 5 it says, through one man sin entered the world, Adam. Because he's our head. He's the leader. Men, God has given you a great responsibility. You are called to be the spiritual leader of your home. Which means this. If you're going to be brave, you're going to be the spiritual leader of your home, that means that you need to have intimacy with Jesus yourself. Notice what Joshua says, verse 15. You know, you choose whom you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But do you notice the pronoun he puts there? As for me. Me. Joshua had determined in his mind that he was going to worship the Lord, that he was going to serve the Lord personally. It wasn't just, yeah, I'm going to bring my family to church and I've done my duty. No. Joshua had said, God is worthy of my all and I will honor him. That's what God desires. And if you're going to lead your family, men, you've got to be a man who is intimate, who is connected to Christ, to the vine. So many men are casual, are lukewarm in their relationship to Christ. If we're honest, lukewarm. I mean, we'll celebrate and we'll get pumped up about sports, or about something that's going on in our career, or about something with our money. But man, when is the last time, men, that your family have seen you raise your hands in surrender and worship? When is the last time your families have seen you say, Jesus is my all and I will stand for him, right? When's the last time our families have seen us do that? When have they seen us on our faces praying to the Lord, interceding on their behalf? Y'all, we live in tough times. We need courageous men. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not to be lukewarm. You need to know Christ yourself. You need to have intimate affections with him before you can become the spiritual leader of your home. So I would just even ask you today, are you even in Christ yourself? Have you ever trusted in Christ? Is he genuinely your Lord and Savior? Have you genuinely confessed with your mouth, believing in your head and in your heart that Christ has been the payment for your sins? Because until you have that settled in your heart, you can never say, me and my family will serve the Lord. And notice it doesn't just say, me and my family will know the Lord, we'll come to church. It says, we will serve the Lord. Not pew-warm the Lord. It means get active, be on mission, engaging culture for the glory of Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're 17 or 77. Men, it's our calling. We need men of God to rise up like the men of David who were strong and mighty in battle. It begins with intimacy with Christ ourselves. But then also spiritual leadership, this requires real courage. Think about what Joshua's facing. I think when he's addressing this, he's not necessarily addressing them just as the leader, but he's just addressing them as a man. Look, I don't know what you're going to do with your families. I can't make you. I've seen the consequences of bad decisions. But I can tell you this, for me and for my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And that takes courage to stand up and to say, we're going to do what we believe is right, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Men, it means taking a stand both against external enemies and internal enemies. I want you to know this, men. You are on the front lines of your family. I try to think of an analogy. I said in the first service, kind of like TSA, but we all know they've kind of done a bad job here recently, right? But you know what I'm talking about. Like, they're kind of the front lines that people don't bring things on the planes because there are people who want to bring things on planes, right? You're called to guard your family against all the trash that the evil one is just bombarding us with all over culture, teaching in schools. Men, you need to say, no, I don't care if that's what this culture is saying. I don't care if that's what somebody else is saying. I don't care if that's what other people in our family are saying. We don't believe that. We don't act on that. We are trusting the word of the living God. I have three boys in elementary school. One just progressed on to middle school. But we've had to tell our boys already in elementary school. They'll come home and they'll say something. And we will say, look, we understand that the teacher is your authority at school, but that is not right. We don't believe that. We believe what the Bible says. We've had to say that. Because we want our boys to be guarded against what the world... Look, sometimes it's easy to see the things that are very deceptive, but that's not how the evil one likes to work. He likes to work in the minutiae, the twisting of the word. And men, you need to be on guard. You need to be standing firm. You need to be that Ephesians 6 man for your family so that they don't get deceived. But it's not just externally, but it's also internally. There are things that you need to stand up for in your family and say, this will not be allowed in our home. I don't care what anybody else is doing. We will not do this. We are not going to dress this way. Fathers, that's your responsibility. We're not going to act this way. We're not going to talk this way. We're not going to badmouth people. That's not how we do things because we are people of the Word. That's what it means to stand up in courage, because you're going to get drawback. You're going to get young girls who are going to say, Dad, everybody's wearing it that way. You're going to get sons who are going to say, Dad, don't be such a fuddy-duddy. And you have to stand and say, no, we are serving the Lord in this house, and that's what that looks like. I don't care if everybody else's parents let them stay out till 3 in the morning. Not in our house. Right? I mean, whatever it is. Some of you men, you need to stand up and tell these punks that are dating your daughters to hit the road. And I don't care how old they are. You're going to really let your daughter date and possibly marry a guy who doesn't love the Lord, who's a jerk, who's disrespectful? You're responsible as her leader. I've shared it before, probably. But again, there's always people that don't know. It's a good example. In Allison's life, when she was in high school, she was dating some punk. I don't know. I'm not lying. She was dating some kid, and her parents didn't like it. They didn't like him. They didn't like the way he dressed or acted or whatever, and they brought him to her house. They sat at the dinner table, and they looked at that young man in the face, and they said, you are no longer going to date our daughter. Because they knew I was coming. Right? Well, I'm just kidding, kind of. But they knew that he wasn't right for her. And the kid boo-hooed and all that kind of stuff. And as Allison says, she didn't care. I don't know. But at the moment, right? But the kid was all broken up. But it was the right thing. And her dad stepped in and said, we're not going to have it at our house. And some of you men need to stand up, even to your daughters or your sons, and lovingly show them the grace of Christ. But be the man. Be the leader. Be responsible. Because God is holding you responsible. So then how can you be spiritually mature and lead your family? That's what some of you are saying. Okay, well, tell me then. I don't know what to do. Well, see, here's where it's really funny. Like, I'm not very bright. I'm not real creative. All I do is just, well, it amazes me. Some of you always say, oh, you did such a good job. All I do is just tell you what the Bible says. Right? I don't have to go looking for creative ideas or new ideas. God's already revealed what you're supposed to do. All I'm supposed to do is tell you what God has told you to do. And you know what God wants you to do as men, and the way to shepherd your families, the way to be men of courage and men that are responsible? Well, first, it starts with just reading the Word together. Aha! Great idea, Pastor. Well, it's not my idea, it's the Lord's idea. Reading the Word together. But it's not just start reading it with them. It means you personally, as a man of God, that you're hiding the Word of God in your heart, that you're allowing God to transform you, that you are invested in the Word of God. And then you're taking that spiritual anointing that He is giving to you as the leader of your home, and then you're, let's read the Bible together as a family. Hey, remember last week we talked about that? And I said, well, one of the reasons we don't read the Bible is we don't have a plan. Oh, if you open up your bulletin, there's a little orange sheet we created just for you for this week. It's called, You Can Read the Whole New Testament by Christmas time, by the end of the year. Just take that if you don't have a plan. If you have another plan, great, implement it. But don't, if you don't have a plan, use that. I know it doesn't get all the way to the end because we ran out of space. We'll make part two in like November, okay? Don't worry. Just do what you have to do right now. But take it. Read Matthew, the first couple of chapters. And if you notice, look what day I started it on. I didn't start it a couple days ago, so you're already behind. I didn't start it tomorrow, so you can procrastinate. Today. What a great gift you can give to your family on Father's Day. Take that and read it with them. And I don't care if you have kids at home. If it's just you and your wife, take your wife. Read with them. Again, if you're 75 years old, take your wife. Read the Word with her. You never stop being the spiritual leader of your home, regardless of your age. Men, read it. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, though, for those of you who do have kids, that you're to talk to them about the spiritual things. You're to read Scripture together. You're to say, okay, what does that mean and how does that look? It's your responsibility. It's not mine. It's not Jess and Trav's. It's your responsibility. We come alongside and add to what you're doing, but you are the spiritual leader. It's your responsibility. But it's not just reading the Bible together. It's also praying together. Again, not new. But oh, how would our country, how would our families, how would our church be blessed if we just actually did what the Bible said? Instead of always saying, well, that's, I already know that. Well, yeah, we know a lot of things that we don't do. But praying, having family devotions together. Again, if it's just you and your wife at home, you guys can have family devotions together. If it's you with, you know, 12 kids, sit down and have devotions with them. Things you can do. Give thanks to the Lord for what He's doing in your family, for how He's blessing you, how He's providing for you. Take time to ask for wisdom. Maybe it's a decision about job. Maybe it's a decision about what school to go to or what school to apply to. Maybe it's a decision about what they want to do for the summer or for a job. I don't know. But wouldn't that be a good thing to come together and pray as a family for those things? Or what about this? For repentance. Hey, you know what? I just want you guys to know that the way I spoke to your mom today was not the way that I should have said it, or I had a bad attitude when I talked to the bank teller, or whatever the issue is, right? You can model and demonstrate what God desires, which is repentance with your kids. Or maybe you just pray about things that are going on in society, right? I mean, what a great opportunity for you this week to have prayed about what happened in Charleston. And talk about the evilness in people's hearts and about the dangers and of people that don't know the Lord and about the need to be reconciled racially and just all those types of things, right? You could pray for that. Look, some of you are going to say, well, that's easy for you. No, it's not easy for me. I'm talking to me just as much as you. Yeah, I mean, I have degrees in theology and stuff. That doesn't make it any easier. I have four little boys. You know what happens when we try to do devotions in prayer time and I'm trying to pray? I hear stuff like this, giggling. I hear people moving around. I'll hear, sit down. I'll hear all this kind of stuff, right? Distractions. But I don't give up. I don't stop. I mean, I might stop in the minute and say, you sit down, knock it off. But I don't stop. And for some of you, don't stop. It doesn't matter how frustrating, how difficult it is. Don't give up, because if you will be faithful, in due time, you will yield a harvest. Bible reading and praying together, your family will be blessed. So some objections some of you will say. Well, for one, you'll say, well, I don't really know where to begin, or I don't know how to begin. What I think is at the heart of that is there's a fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of looking foolish, or I'm afraid of failing. I'm afraid of like looking foolish in front of my family because I don't know where to start, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do, right? Or I'm afraid of failing, like I started it, I did it a couple times, and then we didn't carry it on, and then my family just thinks I'm a big fat failure. Don't let the lies of the evil one discourage you and stop you from starting. What you need to do today, just start. Outside of James Stoffel, who's crazy, running 50 and 100-mile marathons, I don't know everybody, but I don't know that many others of you would be able to go out and run just a regular marathon, much less these insane things he does. That's okay. The same it is with your devotions. Just start. And maybe eventually, using that running example, you can get up to a 5K because you're doing it and you're getting in practice. But you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to be out of breath, right? I mean, there's going to be days that are frustrating. There's going to be days that you miss. There's going to be days that you're just, God, how in the world can I pray with you? I want to beat my kid, or, you know, I want him to sit down, or I want him to be quiet, or whatever the issue. We don't beat our kids, but you know what I mean. Like, sit down, right? But don't give up. Just continue to run the race. It's not like I got to be the first to the finish line. It's just run the race that God has put for you. Men of God, you're called to be the spiritual leaders. Don't give up. The other issue, though, that some of you will say is, well, I just don't have time. And the only thing I can really say to that is, really? Really? That's what you want to come at me with? I don't have time? That you're sacrificing, or you're willing to sacrifice the spiritual well-being and the future of your family because you feel like you don't have time? We all have time. David was king, and he had time to write psalms, to seek the Lord, right? Joshua was the leader of Israel. He had time to seek the Lord. Don't sacrifice your family because you're busy on Facebook or playing golf or other things that you feel like are more valuable. The thing that God will require of you is not what your golf handicap is, but what he will require of you is, how did you shepherd the family I gave you? So what we need is men to rise up. That great hymn, "Rise up, O men of God." And his challenge for our day is that the men of God would rise up and lead their families. Oh, what a great nation we would have. What a great church we would have if people would just lead their families. Listen to this. This pastor says this. This resolution that's worthy of Joshua, and no less worthy for every true son of Joshua that's entrusted with the care and the government of their family. If there was ever a time for preachers to preach this, or for families to put family devotions in, it's never been more so than this present age, since it is greatly to be feared that out of the many households that call themselves Christians, there are but few that serve God and their respective families as they ought to. It is true indeed, if you visit our churches, that you may perhaps see something of a form of godliness still among us, but even that is scarce to be met in private homes. So if God were to send angels down, as he did in the Old Testament times, and they observed the actions in the homes, would they not say, surely the fear of God is not in this place? Who is that? Billy Graham? You know, Chuck Swindoll? John Piper? I mean, who is that? Well, that's George Whitefield. Some of you don't know who that is, but he lived in 1717 to 1770. He said that 300 plus years ago. That was a problem. It's always been a problem. We need, oh men, to rise up for the living God, for the cause of the kingdom, for the sake of our families. And if ever there's been a day, it's today. Notice at the end of that chapter, Joshua tells him, you need to choose. Oh, we'll choose. And he says, no, don't do it callously. Don't do it half-heartedly. But because God, you know, he's not going to put up with your wishy-washiness. No, we will. And then he says, okay, here's a stone in remembrance of, let it be a witness to you about what you're saying you will do. And here's my challenge for you as men. I'm going to ask you to do something here in a minute. And please, please, let it be the desire of your heart. Don't do it to show off for your family. Don't do it because other people are doing it. But I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. If you're willing to take a stand, to be brave, to have courage, and to take responsibility to be the spiritual leaders of your home, in a moment when we pray, I'm going to ask you to stand up. But don't stand up. Because if you do, and then you don't do what you're committing to, your family will look at you and say, you lied. Your family will look at you and they say, why aren't you doing what you said you were going to do? You're going to be making a testimony. And women, let me encourage you with this. Pray for your husbands. Pray, children, for your dads. If they're standing up, pray that they would be the spiritual guardians, the spiritual leaders of your home. And then when they say, hey, let's sit down and read the Bible together. Hey, let's sit down and pray together. Honor them. Submit to them. Encourage them in their labors. Again, women, pray if your husband's not here. Pray that God would get a grip of his heart. Women, pray for your sons who are leading their families, who maybe aren't leading their families. Pray for your son-in-laws that are married to your daughters who aren't leading their families. All types of ways that you can pray even now. But I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer as we close this morning. And men, if you are willing to stand, if you are willing to be the spiritual leader of your home as God is calling us to, if you will say, as for me and my family, we from this day forward will serve the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want people looking around. I just want you to do what is right for you in your heart. Choose if that's your desire. But if it is, I'm going to ask you to stand and I can pray. Father, all around this room, there are men standing, and you know their hearts. You know some of them want to do this. And Lord, I pray that you would empower them like you said you would. If we obey your word, we'd be prosperous. And you would bless us, and your presence would give us wisdom. Lord, I know in this room men are afraid. They don't know what to do. But Lord, they want to be the spiritual leaders. Would you, oh Lord, would you enable them to lead? Would you enable the young men in our church to grow up to be spiritual leaders, to lead their families well? Would you, Lord, we want to join with the women who are praying for their husbands to become the spiritual leaders. We're praying for their sons to be spiritual leaders. We're praying for their sons-in-laws to be spiritual leaders. Oh, Lord, would you raise up for this generation when there's such confusion? Would you raise up men of God who will stand on your word? Lord, these men in this room, would you, oh, Lord, bless their labors? Would you allow them to see fruit in their desire to be spiritual leaders? And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to